All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles up to Romans chapter 15. And we kind of left off there in the middle of the chapter. And thanks be to God again for how the Lord again guides us. And we thank the Holy Ghost for his ministering to us. But as we pick it up here in the 14th verse, and again, that's Romans 15. Paul, from all of that precious encouragement about love and encouraging of that fellowship, now Paul is encouraged in the Holy Ghost to get real specific about the intent of the ministry that the Lord has given him. And I don't want you to think just that this would be for Paul, in a sense. Remember, the Word of God encourages us that we follow Paul as he followed Christ. So this isn't just reading about someone and saying, wow, that was a really neat testimony. We're reading about a heart that was given by God. And it just throws the hair up on my arms. It just encouraged my heart. This is ours. This is what he wants for us. And again, in type of the passion for one another to grow up into him in all things. The passion, praise God, for the body of Christ. And thanking the Lord for that brotherly love. That love of the Philadelphia saint. That love, those horse runners. That love of the Ephesians, the fully purposed ones. Praise be to God. And we're going to find out how sweet and wonderful Paul was encouraged with the faith and the love that is in these precious saints here in Rome. And this passage, brothers and sisters, that we're going to begin tonight really contains some of the most vital and necessary encouragement to us as to what is in the heart and what passion is in the heart of those that truly will win Christ best. The Lord does not hide these things. The Lord makes it very evident of the fruit that comes forth out of his readied wife. And that heart will be an Apostle Paul gospel heart. It will be. It will be, as we'll see tonight, it's the heart that is about Paul's gospel. The Lord kind of stopped me. I thank him for encouraging my heart to tell people it once in a while as I'm encouraged, boy, you sure look good in church, you know. And thank God, we do look good in church. Praise the Lord. Glory becomes us. Amen. But you know, even to get more specific, boy, you sure look good in a church that preaches Paul's gospel. Amen. Fat sheep, praise the Lord. And thanking God, that's not just silly stuff, that's the truth. So we thank him again for giving us the whole counsel of God. And again, it was appointed through this chosen vessel in Brother Paul. And the Apostle Paul gospel heart, brothers and sisters, is a heart that's all about maturing. It's a heart all about growing up fully. Since we mentioned Ephesians, in Ephesians 4:13 through 15, here's that heart again. It's the heart till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen to this. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we henceforth be no more children. Amen? Amen. It's time to grow up, praise God. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Praise the Lord. That is the ministry, hallelujah, of Brother Paul. And we thank him again for that encouragement. But that is what Paul's gospel is about. And praise be to God, it is for us. So let's go ahead and read on now back in Romans. We'll pick it up in verse 14. And Paul says here, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Now, this is such a precious verse. See, Paul, again, is so moved in spirit and by the evidence of truth and love in these saints. He commends them for their goodness and knowledge. And it's not just goodness and knowledge, but notice here, it's that they are full of goodness and they are filled with all knowledge. Praise God! Do you know that that is possible? Because all things are possible through Christ, because this is his purpose. This is what he wants. I pray to God this is that this would be an assembly that would have that passion, that truly would be full of goodness. And as it says here, and be filled with all knowledge. And oh my, then what potential, what great potential for full overcoming finishing that lies within these saints. No wonder Paul longed to fellowship with them. We'll get on with that a little bit. But Paul was delayed, as we'll go on, to get to Rome. Many wonderful things. He was taken to minister to different ones that didn't settle down in the things of God. There were ones that hadn't heard the things of the Lord yet, ones that needed to be encouraged and established more in the things of God. So you know what? As I told you a little bit about Brother Hill one time, when I was feeling a little bit sorry for myself, and you know how we get sometimes, I need a little bit of attention. I need a little bit, TLC. And it's so funny how God had caused him to perceive those types of things from time to time. And he said, "Now, honey," he said, "now I don't want you to think too much of this," but he said, "some people need a little more attention." Amen? Amen. All right. So I wasn't going to get any at that time. And thank God that there was an elder and a true father in the Lord that would encourage my heart to be thankful for what I have in Christ and to be strengthened to encourage myself in the Lord. So we thank him for these things. But you see, Paul longed for their fellowship. And let's not forget, as we started out this precious study, in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, it says that the faith of these saints in Rome, it was known throughout the world. They were world famous for their faith. Praise God. Now, I don't know of anybody world famous for their faith today, but I'm just teasing. But I'm thankful to God that Brother Paul, those ones that love the Lord, you know what? We do know one another. God, again, he brings us to know those that truly love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and might, and praise his name for that. Many of them that we fellowship with, and we thank God for those things. But this is truth in love, brothers and sisters. If we really want to be a supplying joint to or a vessel to the body of Christ, it must be truth in love. And by God's grace, may we really understand as we study this verse that we've started out with here, I really feel by God's grace that we need to understand what this goodness means and what this goodness brings forth in our life. So let's go back to Ephesians and let's go over to the 5th chapter of Ephesians. And let's start reading a little bit about this goodness here and what it speaks of. For the fruit, this is the 5th chapter and the 9th verse of Ephesians. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness." Isn't that wonderful? You're kind of getting a hint there of really where that's going to come from, isn't it? It's only going to come from the Spirit. That's why it's Spirit and truth. That's why it's truth and love. Thank the Lord that, you know, we have been encouraged over the years, and I appreciate that sweet little saying, you know, you could have all truth and you'll just dry up. And if you just have just all spirit alone, you'll blow up. But you get them both together, spirit and truth, you will grow up. And that is the truth. And this is what this is. But see, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And what does it do? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And I want you to think about that word acceptable, because we're going to hit that here in just a moment about being acceptable to God. We know that we're approved. We understand that. But this is even another threshold, praise God, in a presentation as a wife would be presented to her husband. This is some wonderful stuff that this is getting into. Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians, and let's go over to the first chapter in 2 Thessalonians. And we'll read a little bit more about this goodness and why this goodness is so important, brothers and sisters. And understanding, again, what this goodness is. This isn't just, you know, some, hi, how you doing? This is the work of the Spirit in our life. This is true love. This is loving the body as the head, and the head is the body because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. But in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12, it says here, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure, listen to this, all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see a husband and wife there? I pray you do. Praise the Lord. And you see what that's going to be magnified from? And see what it is? It's the good pleasure of his goodness. And to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. All of the goodness that we would ever have is of him, from him, to him, do him. It's all him. And this again is the ministry of the gospel that was given to Paul. Of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we would grow up into him in all things. This is this majestic wife, this bride that is like him, that will be presented to him. And praise be to God, it's not going to be long. Hallelujah. So that's the importance of this goodness. And you see, what's interesting, at least I think it is, oftentimes these latter chapters in Romans are so overlooked, and people don't really think of, a lot of times when they think of saints that are full overcoming, that there were saints like that in Rome. But obviously we see here, let me tell you, they really had mature faith and love. And how wonderful that God, again, touched these folks. And you think, these people were in Rome in the time of, you talk about a dirty, filthy, no good leader in the Nero that was there. And I can't recall the one that was there even right at this time. I don't think it was Nero. It might have been the one right before that. But they were just no good. They were just about every type of wickedness and deceit and absolute abominable things. But yet here again, God was showing himself faithful, raising up a Joseph right in the heart of an Egypt, raising up a Joseph right in the heart of Babylon. God knows what he's doing. And praise the Lord that he does. And we give him thanks for those things, brothers and sisters. Because, you know, we just read this in Thessalonians about this, you know, perfection growing up. If you go right back across the page to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look what he says to these Thessalonians here. So sweet, so precious, these saints. But instead of commending them for their goodness and things of that nature, let's go over and read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verses 14 and 15, what he says there to the Thessalonians. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. He was reminding them. I think that there was some chastening that was going on at that time with this group of believers. There were things that were starting to break out. But thanks be to God, here is, we read of these Romans they were some precious, loving, high-calling saints, and we need to mark them as an example. Now let's go back over to Romans chapter 15, and let's get the 15th verse now. Brother Paul here says in Romans 15:15, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." Isn't that wonderful? That Paul was even encouraged to write the more boldly. Wouldn't you love to be a saint that Paul would preach the more boldly to you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You talk about passion that was coming forth. See, Paul is such a wonderful pastor. Just such a precious brother, because he never ceases to remind them it's all about the word of his grace. It's all about the word of his grace. You get caught up into anything else, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. You can have a lot of good feelings. You can have a lot of good time. You can have a lot of sensational things. You can gather up a lot of people, but you'll miss it without the truth, without the whole counsel of God. And I thank God, again, that's what was placed in this brother's heart. This is giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. This is what more boldly means. We're going to keep these things in remembrance. We're going to allow the Holy Ghost to give us power in believing and being encouraged in these things. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, see, the easy way out is always trying to preach something new. Did you know that? A lot of people say, oh, that'd be really hard. No, it's not. Devil's got lots of things you could preach about to distract people. That's the truth. Lots of causes, lots of fancy things that'll entertain people's minds, the how-to to do this and the how-to to do that. That's why the making of books, there shall be no end. Amen? We know that. Because man, in our flesh, we're not going to settle down with God. That's not going to happen. It has to be by his Spirit, saith the Lord. It has to be by the grace of God. We are unruly, but for God. But it's very sweet here, brothers and sisters, because, see, Paul reminds them of the truth. But, see, man naturally wants to always hear something that's been unheard. But may we always be reminded. And I thank God how, again, it was reminded to me so sweetly as a young man when the Lord had me to preach a couple times and to give the word of God. And Brother Hill would tell me so sweetly, "Remember this, honey, there's no new truth. It's all been preached." Amen. There's no new truth. It has all been preached through the Apostle Paul, through Paul's gospel. Now, there is more light upon light. Don't go thinking, well, I just know it all, and I'm just going to have to sit home and just delight in myself with all my knowledge. God help you, huh? Because we know as you go into the Word of God, you realize how little you really know in a sense. You know what I'm saying? That there is more upon more. There is the much, the more in the Scriptures. When I'm speaking of knowing the truth, we are saved by the blood. It's eternal security, period. The paramount truths of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is the evidence speaking in tongues in that. Praise God. And then that, again, is the beginning of the Holy Ghost coming into your life to guide you and lead you into all truth, that you could grow up in Christ, that you could grow up into him in all things, and that Christ will have a bride, and she is a separate company from the rest of believers. She is a rib portion out of the body. Now, praise God, there are other, in a sense, there are. Every truth is paramount. It's wonderful. We could talk about head covering. We could talk about baptism. We could talk about communion and all of these different things, brothers and sisters. Those are the truths. But the depths in those truths, endless. Because heaven and earth will pass away. But the word of God endureth forever. This word is the only thing that's forever. What's in here? Oh, my goodness. What's in Christ? Oh, my goodness. What's in us? Oh, my goodness. Praise God. And this is what it's about. It's about His Son. But see, man's always going to have itching ears for new things. And natural man will never settle into the things or to the Word of God. As the Word said, they will not endure sound doctrine. They're just not going to do that. And that's why you see so many just goofy and dysfunctional people in the Lord. And they might have things all together in a sense on the outside, but boy, in the things of God, if it's not Paul's gospel, it's going to miss the mark. And God help us to stand in it. Read Galatians again. Be encouraged. If Paul said, if I or anyone else, an angel, would preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. You got to know these things. And the Lord help us to stand in these things. This is the bride's battle, praise God, is just to that first love. And notice here too, as we end that 15th verse, the reason Paul does it. It's not because Paul is a good guy. It's not because Paul has great will and Paul's just some special character that is just so religious, as so many religions would like to do with some of these wonderful brothers and sisters in the Word of God. No, it says it right here. It says, because of the grace that is given to me of God. That's it. Praise God. That is the whole reason. That's why Paul is preaching this. As he says in, turn over to 1 Corinthians 15:10, I love how he wraps it up with these brethren as he's telling this. And know this for our own lives in 1 Corinthians 15:10, it says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed unto me was not in vain. Praise God. See, all that grace is there, but what you going to do with it, huh? Amen. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Praise the Lord. See, he knew and was so thankful to know. He could take no credit. He could not pat himself on the back one bit. It was all because of the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. That's what I was kind of talking about, being encouraged of the Lord in my infirmities and things of that nature. It's grace, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you what, oh wretched man that I am, but for God, thank you, Jesus. And from time to time, he has to let us know because he loves us so. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Now, then specifically, going back to Romans, he puts them in mind of something here in verse 16. And he says to them, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now let's talk about light upon light. Let's talk about the more in the more. Now you could read through that and praise the Lord. You could just see on the surface, well, sure, the Lord came to his own. Jesus did, and his own received him not. And then he turned to the Gentiles and praised the Lord and all of those wonderful things that came forth. Well, that was just the beginning. And praise God of the depth that the Holy Ghost brings to us in verse 16. And what he's saying here is, I am your minister. I'm your minister. And never forget that I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul, the chosen vessel unto the Lord for the purpose of the mystery of Christ and the church. Praise God. Praise God. And this is why, praise the Lord, we thank him that we have been born and are here at this time to receive Paul's gospel. And notice what a minister does. Did you see here? It's not build coffee bars or get great crowds together for causes to go march and do different things like that. No, you know what a true minister does? Ministers the gospel of Christ. That's what a minister does. That's what a minister is. That's why a minister, praise the Lord, is a precious word. And God help us to not mix our words when we're speaking of things. Hallelujah. And then, what encouragement here in the second half of this verse. As he says there, offering up, the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, we've studied about when Paul is using the word Gentile, he's speaking of saved ones, ones that are already saved. These are, thank the Lord, ones that have taken Christ as Savior. And what he's going on with here is this is what this is the testimony in my heart, brothers and sisters. This is what God has given to me. This is truly, again, now to us, what is in the heart of a bridal saint. Those, again, that are like are the four living ones, and mentioned it earlier, whether it was in Revelation 5 or Revelation 8, you will see that those four living ones, the bride of Christ, offers up the prayers of the saints. They pray. Praise the Lord for one another. They're lifting these things up to God. They're so a type of a priest and a king. And what a priest type, praise God, Brother Paul is right here. And remember this, the one thing that he offered were Gentiles. Again, saved ones. Ones that would go on with the Lord. That's the mentioning here, that they might be acceptable. Remember that, how we read that earlier about being made acceptable. Paul was even putting himself, when we read about that word, acceptable. Paul already knows that he's seated in the heavens in Christ. Paul already knows that his citizenship is in heaven. So what is this acceptable that he's talking about? What is this precious separation, or in a sense being sanctified, as it says here, that he wants for these saved brothers and sisters in the Lord? And it doesn't mean just set apart here, brothers and sisters, this word sanctified. It means to be purified. Purified for an event. Praise be to God. Let me remind you of one that was purified for an event. Go back to Esther chapter 2. And we'll read about this little orphan girl that was not deserving. She wasn't even from the family. She wasn't, in a sense, she was, but I mean, wasn't part of any of this that she was going to come into. It wasn't hers, but praise the Lord for grace. And here's what the plan of God is for us in this precious type. But in Esther chapter 2, let's begin reading from verse 8. And thinking again about being purified. That's what this sanctified by the Holy Ghost means. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai. And remember that Haggai represents the Holy Ghost here, the one that would prepare the women for the marriage, praise God, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Now, praise God, we know what happens later on in that precious story with that purification and all those things. Actually, let's just go over to the 17th verse and read about it. It says, because of that complete surrender to Haggai, the keeper of the women, because she took nothing but what he gave to her. She didn't have thoughts to say, well, maybe I should do it this way, or maybe I should put this in, or maybe the king's going to be pleased if I did this. No, 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 no. She only listened to the one that knew the king, the keeper of the women. The Holy Ghost is the one that knows our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's so wonderful. The Holy Ghost is the one that takes the things of Christ and makes them ours and shows them to us. The Holy Ghost only ministers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will do nothing else but prepare that wife for, praise God, the Son of God. And that is exactly what it is. And in the 17th verse, and it says, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Praise God. I want that purification. I want, praise the Lord, and that grace has given me and given you the desire to want that encouragement and that grooming of the Holy Ghost and that growth that makes us ready to be presented as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Praise his name. Now, that's Paul's gospel. Isn't that wonderful? See, this is what Paul is preaching. This is why Paul says, you know what? I'm going to be more boldly with you because the Spirit has encouraged me that you love him. He is your first love, you little group of saints. And you know what? We're just going to have a good old time. We're going to get more bold in this thing. More delirious, more panting, as Brother David said after the Lord. See, this is the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Fully purposed saints that desire to win Christ Jesus as bride, as bridegroom. And that is Paul's glorying here. That is what Paul is so encouraged of here. And if we go back to Romans 15 and reading from 17, he even professes it right here about these saints. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. See, this is his privilege, brothers and sisters. This is our privilege to minister Jesus. To minister, praise the Lord, Paul's gospel. To be used of the Lord. This is that true meaning of vessel. Remember, the vessel, the true vessel, adds to the usefulness of the husband. And how incredible this is that, as Brother Paul says here, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. See, we can't glory in ourselves. We can't glory on our own. There's only one way we glory, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's this precious glory that he's speaking of here, in a sense that it's shared with him. It's a glory that comes from a husband to a wife. Amen. That's shared glory. That's glorified together. I thank God how, again, I've heard stories and even how my mom would speak of my daddy. And again, as dad would be recommended or honored or anything of that nature, my mom was glorified together with my dad. She didn't need things for herself in a sense. The type was there. It was all for the husband. And that glory was upon her. And thanking God again, I just praise him for that precious type that we have, again, to understand what this love is. Now, let's go ahead and read 18 and 19. And I think this will be a good place to stop. And really, as much as there is that we're speaking of here, there is so much the more even in here. And I feel somewhat, I don't want to feel light going through here, you know what I'm saying? Because that light, praise God, it'll give you a heaviness and it'll make you full as we go through here. But 18 and 19, it says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought to me, by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I had it just a moment ago, but my tongue's a little tied up. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul here is giving all glory to Jesus. Praise God. He's giving all glory to the Spirit's working power. And what he is saying here, he stated maybe even a little bit more directly. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians there. And where is that? And he said it a little bit more directly, in a sense, to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 and 12. That's 2 Corinthians 12, 11 and 12. He says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Can you imagine how they're treating sweet brother Paul? Just like, well, whatever. You're preaching that? Well, okay. My goodness. This vessel, praise God, is preaching the whole counsel of God. The mystery of Christ in the church. Hallelujah, that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. And he says here, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And see, that is Paul's evidence of his apostleship. As we read here, this is truly why we know he is called of God. First of all, as it says here in verse 18 and 19, by word, the word of God, by deed, that means manner of life, and then through many mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit. Now see, the power of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, is always on his vessels of mercy. It's going to come forth. He's going to show himself mighty. I thank God that is why we can have confidence in him and in him alone. I thank the Lord how mighty that was shown even in the life of King David over and over. But I thought the testimony through him as a young man, and he wasn't a big fella, and he wasn't strong enough, believe it or not, to go attack a lion and a bear. But when God had encouraged him and put him into those places, let me tell you something, he'd tear them up with his hands. He would. When he saw that Goliath that was just ripping people apart and could throw a spear around and had a sword and how many hundreds of pounds those things weighed and how he could lift that around, and yet David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Praise the Lord. There's an anointing when there's confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves. We have confidence in ourselves. We have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. We all know that. We've been there. God, help us to not go there anymore. But when we come, praise the Lord, and we come in the name above all names. We've got that name. When we come in the name of Jesus, praise God, in the power of his might, that precious Holy Ghost. Oh my goodness, you talk about the joy of the Lord that's your strength. Do you realize what the joy of the Lord can do? It's more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us. It's the joy, praise God, that nothing's hard for God. It's that joy that carries us all the way along. And see, this is what Paul was so thankful about. Sure, brothers and sisters, I thank God the healings go on today. And thank the Lord how mighty he's been showing us healing in this meeting and praying for people and God healing cancers and automobile accidents and all these things that doctors have written off ones and different things of that nature. I thank the Lord for those things that he gives us. That's wonderful. But God, help us to not get caught up in the acts of God, that we want to know his ways. Amen? That's what this is about. And that was what's so precious with Brother Paul here. In the power of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, the greatest power is when you're discouraged, when you're defeated, when you're in an infirmity, when you have failed greatly, but yet the power of the love of God lifts you right up. That's power. It's easy to sing from a mountaintop. The power is when you're in the valley. You know this. Anybody can sing, praise God, when they're running with the Philistines' gate through the hills. But can you sing when you failed mightily? And you're locked up for it, or whatever it might be. Or you even surprised yourself how, in a sense, wicked you are but for God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, as we close, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, I have fully preached. Notice here, fully preached. Not partially, not somewhat, but Paul fully preached the gospel. He never withheld a thing. He never would get in there and size up people. He didn't look at the people. He trusted God. He gave the word of God. He was not going to withhold a thing. He gave them the full gospel. And he trusted God for the increase. And that's what this means here in these precious words, is it means joy. See, Paul preached joy in the lands. And it says here, joy where Christ was not preached. See, you can't have joy without Christ. You can't. There is no joy. he is joy. But that's truth in love, and that's spirit and truth preaching in fellowship. Without both of the spirit and truth, without the truth in love, brothers and sisters, there's no joy. Let's go over and read one last text here. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. It's amazing how much the Lord encouraged to glean out of this, going back to Thessalonians here in this study. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 5 and 6, and this is so sweet how Paul lets it be known. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power." See, it wasn't just word, it was power. There was a moving, brothers and sisters. The Holy Ghost, in that moving, takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. He'll cause you to ache and to groan for the Lord. So he said, "But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Huh? In his faithfulness he has afflicted thee? Sure he does. He knows. He knows. Yes, Jesus knows. Thank the Lord for that consolation. Amen? And that consolation is, we know, let me tell you something, that's the prize. That's the reward. See, some, and I'll just kind of close with this, thinking about joy. Brothers and sisters, God help us to be a group that rejoices in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That the power, see, the power of the Holy Ghost is love. The power of the Holy Ghost is love. The Holy Ghost is the one that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our hearts. The evidence of the Holy Ghost in a meeting, in a life, is love. It's fiery. It's passionate. They glow. I thank God for these things that he shows us in this. But that's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not just the power in the gifts. The power truly, truly, in what is being spoken of here is the love of God in lives. But that's what's so sad, brothers and sisters, is this: the love of many is waxing cold. The love of many is waxing cold. The world never had love. Do you know that? Without Jesus Christ, there is no love. It's a counterfeit. It's a lot of different things. It can be nice to have a nice neighbor. I like nice neighbors. But love comes from one place, and that's God. Because God is love. Nothing else is love but God. Know this: when the love of many is waxing cold, you know what you have to be to even have love. You have to be a Christian. You have to be a child of God. I want you to think on these things and understand what's going on here. And brothers and sisters, God help us to fight the good fight of faith for the joy. And a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Because it's starting to wane. Meetings are starting to flicker out. You can preach all the truth you want, but without love, it profits you nothing. Know it. God has graced us so, 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 so much. Don't grow cold. Don't get complacent. Don't take it for granted. There's ones, I was thinking, like, you know, Sister Ruth and all these ones that have, the Lord's calling home. They've been here a long time. Huh? The horse is still in the stable. Huh? We got to run. Pick it up. I want that mantle. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? As Elisha came out there, he wouldn't let Elijah out of his sight. He said, oh no, I want that double portion. All right. It might even be shrinking a little bit, I don't know, in numbers. Oh, but in might, God help us. Lord, ramp it up in me. Amen. Thank him for the joy tonight, brothers and sisters. It's the treasure that'll win God's best. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.